In the name of the one who is the true vine, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dear fellow branches, first I want to say it's been a distinct privilege for me as the pastor and also for all of the congregation at Mount Calvary in Brentwood to serve as the host for the communion services this year at the seminary. I want to thank Dr. Johnson and Dr. Brower for the distinct privilege of that. And I've received the invitation to stop by once a quarter and to share a few words and a few thoughts from a pastor in the field. And this being the third quarter and my last time here, and also being that there's about 95 Missouri Synod churches in the area waiting their turn, and my turn won't be back around for a little while, and considering the things I might say, they might skip a turn. It could be close to 200 years before I get back. I thought I would just tell you today what I've been thinking. I was going to start with the third best piece of advice that I ever received from the seminary. This was in the spring of 82 in HOM 2 class when someone asked, "Dr. Mollering, how many points should there be in a sermon?" And he responded immediately, "At least one." And we'll try to find that today as we think of this passage from John 15. And there were too many points for a guy like me. First of all, the first point that just jumps out is that Jesus is very fruit-oriented. Have you noticed that? He talks a lot about the harvest. He talks here over and over again. He mentions fruit in bunches, and one time he mentions bunches of fruit so that you would bear more fruit. He's talking about the God who is always pruning and planting and cutting off of branches. So God is very fruit-oriented. And I won't dwell on that except to remind you to ask, do I have a fruit orientation? Do I think of the calling that God has for me in the place in His kingdom to be bearing fruit? Well, next point that immediately jumps out that we could talk about is that Jesus' design for bearing fruit is me. And in this tremendous mystery that Jesus would say to His disciples on the Mount of Ascension, "And lo, I will be with you always, goodbye," and then He immediately leaves, but the Holy Spirit comes, and I have been cleansed by the Word, as Jesus mentioned here in verse 3, everything is all set. Jesus is gone, the Holy Spirit has come, I've been cleansed. His plan for bearing fruit amongst the people of the world is set in motion. It's ready to go, and it's me. So I need to be asking myself, am I building a track record of fruit bearing for the Lord's kingdom? A third point that we could easily talk about, and here'd be a whole other sermon, Jesus works only through those branches that are connected to Him. And so here the temptation is to take the allegory a little bit too far and talk about the sap of the Word and the sacrament, but I'll resist the temptation and instead just ask the question, am I living as a vital, living, connected branch through a life of the Word and the sacrament so that I also might be a fruit bearer in the kingdom? What I really wanted to get to was this topic that just jumped out of this text at me because of where I've been living lately. And that is that Jesus' design for all of His branches, all of His fruit bearers, includes pruning. So the question is twofold. First of all, if someone were to ask me, how have you been pruned lately? Would I be able to identify the lessons that God is teaching me today where I've said in recent days, ouch, ooh, that hurts. Lord, I sense You're teaching me something, preparing me for greater fruit bearing. And secondly, am I living with an eagerness saying, God, I hope You will come and prune me today because I need it? Now, this is a difficult and a painful subject. It seems, in order to carry the analogy a little bit too, or the allegory a little bit too far here, now I'll take my liberties, that God is looking to bear fruit through those fresh and lively and green growing shoots that are coming off of the branches. And in order for those fresh, lively parts of our lives to be happening because of God's ministry to us of the gospel, it means the Lord is going to find those things that need a snip and that need a clip in order that a fresh branch can come growing out. And he does that through the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Lord comes into my life and brings me healing for those places where it's gone, ouch, oh, that hurt a little bit. So the question is, am I open to the word of the law so that the Lord might identify those places in my life that need a snip and that need a trim? Am I ready and open and eager and willing to hear that snip that says, ouch, it's growing dead over here on this part of my branch. I need new life. Every Christian needs that pruning. Let me talk about the second best piece of advice that I ever got. It was after doing my research elective and spending the entire summer or winter coming up with about 75 pages for Dr. G on the topic dispensational premillennialism is characteristic of fundamentalist hermeneutics. I thought the title alone would get me something good, okay? I did get a good grade. And copies were on sale to the highest bidder, if anybody's interested in a... But after turning it in, Dr. G called me into his office, and he said, sit down, let's talk about it now. And he says, now let me preface my remarks like this. There's an ancient Oriental proverb. Warning, watch out for ancient Oriental proverbs. Okay. He says to me, he pats my winter's work like this, and he says, now let me tell you something. Only your friends will tell you your faults. Your enemies don't care. And I said, oh boy. Thank you, Dr. G, for being my friend. David had Nathan. And every David needs a Nathan who will show them their faults. And part of the pastoral ministry is to be a prophet, a Nathan to the people. But the king needs his Nathan also. I'm often impressed by the fact that pastors are very much like the guy who's walking down the hall with the toilet paper stuck to the bottom of his shoe. You see, our people are far more receptive to hearing the word of pruning and trimming than they are to giving it. And so let me just close by offering you this piece of advice. Find someone who will be your Nathan. I've set up a structure in place in my congregation where twice a month, I sit down with four men from our congregation, and they ask me six questions. And I know for 2 weeks that these questions will be asked in another 2 weeks. Are you investing time alone with God? Ooh, ouch. Is your thought life pure? Ooh, ouch. Are you always honest? Ooh, ouch. Are you giving more than you are receiving? Ooh, ouch. Are you quick to forgive and committed to love in all of your relationships? Ooh, ouch. And number six, my favorite, have you lied about any of the previous five questions? Ooh. Ouch. And then I ask them one question. What does God want you to tell me? Pastor, you have some toilet paper stuck to the bottom of your shoe. Let me close with then the best piece of advice I ever got from the dear Dr. Charlemagne, who is in his last year of instruction in the year of our graduation. Isn't that right, Glenn? And he told us, always remember Rule 6. Don't take yourself so seriously. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And the peace of God, which is beyond all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.